In this video, we will talk about children's participation and especially the critical issues related to that. We have both done some research concerning that and found out that it's a quite complex theoretical concept, but also difficult to support in action.
In order to explore these complexities and ambiguities, we will share our research experiences. So, Malena, you will share some experiences from children's participation while doing a research project, and I will talk about children's participation in the child welfare system in Norway.
Yeah, well, I first encountered with children's participation about 10 years ago when I did my PhD, and we had this research project in which we wanted children to conduct a theater performance. So we wanted them to do the manuscript. We used a story crafting method for that. And also we wanted them to rehearse the performance and then publicly perform it, actually. We didn't want it to be inside the kindergarten system as it usually goes, just the adults watching it. So we wanted it to be really public so that children's art could be made visible. So this resonated with UN Convention of the Rights of the Child, especially the Article 12, in which it is children are granted the right to express their views freely, and also the Article 31, in which children have right to access the art and cultural life.
So, Malena, did you succeed in this project?
Well, yes and no. We tried to support children's participation, and that was our goal, but soon we realized that it was quite like idealistic and maybe also naive. And we had several problems related to that. And the first one was that we had so many adult fantasies about how this would go. Like, my expectations were that if children have freedom to do whatever they want, it would be really something imaginative, like fantastic. They would go to space and write something about that. But instead, children wanted to tell stories about just going out, eating, dressing up, the boring stuff. And as adults, we were really like disappointed. That wasn't what we were expecting. And that was our fault. We were expecting something like exceptional. And second problem was that actually, it was an adult-driven project. We had the outcome in mind. It should be a theater performance. But children, they weren't familiar with the institution of theater and the practices on that. So they didn't know, for instance, what a scene was. And when we wanted them to make scenes, they were just starting to yawn and going asleep, and they were really rebelling against it. So it was our way to do it, not their way, really. And the third problem was that it was really hard to support individual children's participation in a group, as it is in democratic society. It's not everybody who gets heard. So, for instance, when we were doing one manuscript, a group of girls wanted to do it about lynxes. Then one boy wanted it to be about seven dwarfs, and two boys wanted it to be about warm table made of potatoes. So we did it, but it was like separate things, just put it together, and we decided that they would live in the same woods. But it was several ideas, they didn't agree on it. So that was hard.
I guess this shows how ideas and ideals are not easily turned into practice.
That is correct. And we had so many good intentions as an adult, but also there were many obstacles to celebrate the children's participation in practice. And I think this also demonstrates our project, what Garrison Lansdowne wrote in 2014 about how children's participation is often dependent on short-term funding, short-term projects, and also the goodwill of adults. it's not like regularly in our systems, built into our systems. But Marit, I'm curious to find out what kind of examples do you have in mind concerning children's participation?
I want to share with you some findings from a project that I'm currently involved in together with Ingunn Ellingsen from the University of Stavanger. So we did research with social workers working in the Norwegian social welfare system, exploring children's participation. As Finland, Norway has also ratified the UNCRC and it's also integrated to Norwegian law. So it specifically tells that children in child welfare system should have the right to express their views. This entails three things. First of all, for the participant to be real, the children needs to be properly informed according to their age and maturity. And it's actually the adult's responsibility to make sure that the child has understood the information. Second of all, to ensure that the children are able to express their views freely, we also have to ensure that they have a safe environment. This includes both the physical environment, but also the people present. And we also have to remember that not all children are comfortable with expressing their views verbally or talking with strangers. So we should enable them to also, for instance, draw their thoughts and opinions. And third, according to Article 12 of the UNCRC, it's not enough to just let children say their views, but it should also be given due weight. So this implies that we should also take into consideration what the child actually says in decision-making processes.
I think that's a very important notion. I think children are often listened, but they rarely have an impact, a real impact in our society. So that's a problem. But what did you find out? Are the child welfare service staff, are they able to listen to children's view in the child welfare cases?
I think I will answer as you did, both yes and no. So what we found is that actually all the social workers were talking about and perceiving children as having participatory rights. And it was really evident in the way they discussed it, and it was part of their professional rhetoric. So this shows that we come a long way from since we only consulted adults like parents or other professionals in these cases. However, it seemed to be a primary concern to document that it had been done. So in the Norwegian child welfare system, the caseworkers are actually obliged to document that it has been done so it doesn't just remain a rhetorical matter to involve the children. And the way they were talking about it, it seemed that very often it was more about ticking it off a list than actually listening to the child. And this is what we often call tokenism. So even though they express their views, they don't have actually real participation.
Yeah. And I think children should also have right to not to participate, as we sometimes force them into our adulterian fantasies about how things should be done and how they should be active and speak up and everything like that.
Actually, that was what we also worried about, because they were so concerned about documenting their voices. Mm-hmm. Some children also did not want to participate and did not want to express their views. And it's very important to remember that Article 12 is a right. It's not a duty to actually share your views.
Yeah, that's good to know. Did you found out that there were some workers who were able to ensure the participatory rights for children in those cases?
Well, yes. Most of the caseworkers actually perceived the children as competent and reliable sources during the investigation process. But when it came to the outcome of the decision making, then very few emphasized children's views and wishes. So this entails that it seems that the caseworkers were more interested in actually easing the process of investigation. But what is most important for the children themselves is actually the outcome, where to live and with whom. So in this regard, it's also very important to highlight the difference between co-determination and self-determination. So the children's views should be considered on equal terms as adults' views, but the children shouldn't be the sole decision makers and have the responsibility, because that might be a bigger burden.
Yeah, I think this resonates quite well with the difficulty we have in everything we do with kids, because in some ways we should consider them as their special position as children, the right to be protected and so on, but we should also consider them as equal somehow, that we don't oppress them and treat them in a symmetrical way we usually quite often do. So that's the difficulty here. But Marit, you are also editing a special issue on Barn, because the UNCRC will have the 13th anniversary this year, and you will publish this special issue on that in the Nordic context, actually. So what kind of topical issues do you have there regarding children's participation?
Well, the Nordic countries are perceived in the world actually as pioneering countries when it comes to ensuring children's rights. Yet we do know that the UN Committee of the Rights of the Child regularly actually criticize the way we are implementing these rights. So this made us be interested in doing this special issue to kind of explore the current situation of children's rights in the Nordic countries. So we actually discovered that there's a lot of interest among Nordic researchers in this topic. And concerning the rights for children to participate, there was a particular interest in children in more vulnerable situations. So either children with disabilities or children with ethnic minority background. But we've also noticed that there's an increased attention about children's rights and children's participatory rights within the healthcare system. So this concerns both children as patients, but also children as the next of kin. So I think we will see much more with this kind of research in the future. Last but not least, there's also a shift in arenas where we think children's participation as relevant and appropriate. So for quite a long time now, we reckon it appropriate in the home, in the school, in the kindergarten setting. But recently, there is also increasingly an attention to their participation in the larger society as a whole.
Yeah, as it is in the Article 12 of the UNCRC, it has been said that children have right to express their views freely in all matters concerning them.
Yeah, and that actually entails all decisions made on a societal and political level, because in the end of the day, children will inherit the world.
Yeah.
So we see some projects, both within academia but also NGOs, focusing on children as political beings and having a say in this kind of decision making. But still, I think what impedes us is our current understanding of children and childhood and where they belong and what role they have in society.